pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Really looking forward to speaking to our next guest. He spent many years in Major League Baseball. Came on the scene with the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1973. His career ended in 1991 with the Toronto Blue Jays. And during that time frame, he was a seven-time All-Star, a two-time World Series champ, one ring with the Pirates, one with the Oakland A's. He was also the NL MVP in 1978, and he's in the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame. He is Dave Parker, also known as the Cobra, and that is the name of his new book, Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood. He's joining us over the phone right now. Dave, a pleasure to get you on. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure being on the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We love talking baseball here on the show. And before we get rolling, I got to ask you about the book, Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood. What went into this? What made you think, okay, I got a story to tell. I got these experiences that I want to put in a book and share with the public. What was it that brought you to that point?
Well, everybody else had their opinion of Dave Parker, what he was as a player and otherwise. So, I basically wanted to give my view of me as an individual.
In this book, it goes in detail, and I'll tell you right out of the gate, one of the most interesting stories for me was the idea that here you are playing the same position as Roberto Clemente, who's an all-time great, a legend. We're talking about one of the greatest to ever do it. And when you made your big league debut in 1973, here's this Pirates organization still reeling from this tragedy, and you embrace that. There was no pressure. At least that's the one I took from the book. There was no pressure. You embraced the fact that you could step right in and at least on the field carry on that legacy of Roberto Clemente.
Yes, I felt like I was the guy for the job after the tragic death of Roberto. I felt that I could have played in the major leagues at 19, so I had the confidence and the ability. It was just a matter of getting there. I wish I could have got there in another way other than the death of Roberto. But he was the greatest. They called him the greatest, and he put that on display every day he was on the field. And it was a big chance for me to pick his brain and learn a lot from him. And he taught me how to reach back and throw the ball with my body, and the velocity that I picked up from playing with him and learning.
When you talk about being able to step in a spot like that, and even though you were ready and you felt like you could have played in the big leagues at the age of 19, and I know that this was an organization that was stacked in the outfield, is it the pressure that you were able to just feed off of and excel because of it?
Yeah, well, I welcome the pressure. You know, I'm a competitive guy, and I'd been in the minor leagues for 3 years, and it was time for me to advance to the major leagues. So I welcome the pressure. I looked at myself as establishing myself as the first Dave Parker instead of the guy that took over for Roberto.
Again, we're being joined right now by Dave Parker, former Major League Baseball player who's got just a terrific resume all the way down, a seven-time All-Star, a two-time World Series champion, NL MVP in 1978. Dave, when we go back and look at your career, again, spanning from 1973, moving all the way to 1991 when it ended with the Toronto Blue Jays, if someone was to say Dave Parker is one of the greatest baseball players of the 70s, but Dave Parker didn't really reach his full potential, what would you say to those people?
I would tell them that I was the best in the 70s, just like you did. I welcomed the challenge of being a major league player. I was fortunate to play with some good guys. But baseball is something that I take close to heart, and I appreciate playing with my peers, the ones I played against and the ones I played with. Pete Rose was a prime example. He was a guy that played the game the way it should be played, and it was a thrill playing against him and a thrill playing with him.
Dave, looking at the book in itself, there's several chapters that we can sit and dissect, but is there a particular story or a particular aspect of your career that you really wanted to highlight in this book?
I'd stand accountable for everything that I did in baseball as a player and on the field, off the field. I stand accountable, and I live off of what I did as a player. I think that is Hall of Fame numbers, and it ain't happened yet, so I'm still waiting on that to happen.
Let's talk about some of the shortcomings. Going back to 1985, how did that particular instance, and I guess the events leading up to it, shape the second half of your career from 1985, where you really picked things up with the Reds and just kind of continued on winning a World Series with the A's? How did that particular time frame shape the remainder of your career?
Well, I was injured. I was hurt for like 2 years. I had two knee surgeries, two ruptured thumbs, and I couldn't produce like I normally could. I was involved in that drug trial, which I just told you I stand accountable for. But the numbers that I put up when I went to Cincinnati was all because of me being healthy. I was healthy, and I showed baseball that I was healthy. I even told the pitchers when I went to Cincinnati that I had something special for them when I got healthy again. And I invented this trot called the Thing. And I displayed it, and the pitchers didn't like it too much, because I had some productive years. I had four productive years in Cincinnati, almost as good as the years I had in Pittsburgh.
I'm always so entertained by the idea of a second life of an athlete. If we break it down into phases, the back half of a career. In your career, you experienced the pinnacle in two separate eras, 1979 world champion, 1989 world champion. How do those two differ, and does one mean more to you than the other?
Well, I appreciated being with Pittsburgh because they gave me the opportunity to play Major League ball. But overall team, Oakland had everything. They had Ricky Henderson leading off, Corney Langford hitting second, Canseco hitting third, I hit fourth, McGuire hit fifth, Dave Henderson hit sixth, Steinbach hit seventh, Tony Phillips hit eighth, and Walt Weiss hit ninth. That was an all-star team. We used to have teams come out, pitchers that don't pitch on that day, wouldn't even come out and watch us hit BP because we were that intimidating.
You got to carry a different kind of swag, right, when you know you're that intimidating.
Well, I believe in intimidating anyway. I used to swing a sludge hammer, an 8-pound sludge on an on-deck circle, me and Stargell. And we did that for intimidation. So part of my game and most of my game was about intimidation.
Dave, if we talk about your time with the Oakland A's, knowing the experience or the success that you guys manage to have, and you talked about all the talent that you guys went toe-to-toe or you were able to go to war with night in and night out, when you look back on the fact that you had an opportunity to win two World Series championships, do you have any regrets about the 88 World Series?
Yeah. I played left field for the first half of the game, and I got taken out of the game, went in and took a shot and came to watch the end of it. And when I saw Kirk Gibson dragging that bat to the plate, and we in L.A., Hollywood, I kind of knew that he was going to do some damage, and he hit a home run. But I knew it prior to it happening. I could see it taking place.
Does the loss in 88 still sting, even though you have two rings?
No. A World Series is great regardless how you get it. And made the mistake with Gibson to take the 88 one away, but we were right back where it belonged in 89. So we did what champions do. You leave something somewhere that belonged to you, you go back and get it. We went back and got it.
Isn't it an exhausting feeling after a loss knowing, boy, that's a 162-game marathon season? And I'm asking this because of the resiliency of an athlete, right? I mean, that's such a marathon of a season. Where do you find the grit to battle back, especially at this stage in your career where you're towards the end, but where do you find the grit to battle back and become a champion that late after everything that you've gone through and after suffering a loss to win in 1989? Where did you find that?
Well, I found two different things to deal with. One was to play for the series, and one was to play for my personal numbers. And I mentored a lot of young players like Shedfield, Eric Davis, Ben Larkin, Paul O'Neill. I had that to work on, too. I wanted to teach these guys how to be major leaguers, and I did.
As far as your individual accolades, one of the things I've taken from the book so far with where I'm at, team accolades always meant more to you than individual accolades. At least that's the perception that I've taken from this book. So when we talk about the fact that you're a seven-time All-Star, two-time World Series champ, NL MVP in 1978, but you're also a part of the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame, does that Cincinnati Reds recognition top the individual accolades of an NL MVP, a Gold Glove, a Silver Slugger? Does that top that?
It means a lot to me. So, having that entry into their Hall of Fame means a lot. So whatever I've done, I did proudly.
Dave, I do have a couple of more questions for you before I let you go, and this is more related to the game rather than the book itself. I had one listener, when I told him I was going to be interviewing Dave Parker, they said, ask Dave how he put up such great numbers in 79 while having to listen to We Are Family 10 times a night.
That song, I think of the Pirates every time it come on. So it was easy to do. You know, we were having fun. We was playing for a series, and that was easy for us to play under the We Are Family.
As far as the competition that you would see on the field, is there a particular team that you really got up for? It doesn't matter if you were playing for the Pirates, the Reds, the A's, it doesn't matter. Is there a particular team that you just really wanted to stick it to?
Philadelphia.
Why is that?
Had a rivalry with Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we was playing for the Eastern Division Championship. And that in itself creates a rivalry.
Is there a particular pitcher that you just really looked forward to facing?
Steve Carlton, even though he struck me out more than any pitcher I ever faced. But I hit more home runs off of him than any other pitcher I faced. So we had a feast of fans. Relationships.
Is there a particular pitcher that you knew you would own? And maybe it's the same question, but a guy that you knew, I don't care what type of stuff you have today, I will dominate you. You know it, and I know it. Is there a particular player or pitcher that stands out in that regard as well?
Well, Andy Hawkins, I used to hit real well. I mean, he punched me out three times in one game, and I caught the last out in top of the ninth, and I ran across the mound and gave the ball to Andy and said, I never struck out four times in a game. I said, do you think you can do it? And he got me two strikes, no balls, and threw me a sinker away, and I flipped it out of a right field for a home run.
Dave Parker, again, our guest right now, author of the new book, Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood. Dave, I'm going to leave you with this last question. The biggest thing that you want your fans to take from this book, Cobra, is what?
The brotherhood, the relationships. We established great relationships, and society needs to take a note on that, too.
Well, Dave, it was a pleasure to speak with you over the last 15 minutes. I've thoroughly enjoyed the book. Thank you so much for taking out the time to join us. I wish you many more years of success and lots of success with this book as well. It truly was a pleasure to speak with you about your time and career in the game of baseball.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Definitely my pleasure. That's Dave Parker again, the Cobra. Always love hearing the old stories, and I think that Dave Parker has a very interesting story all the way around, an entertaining athlete, one of the best arms in baseball, during his time. I don't think there's any question about it. We are at the top of this edition of the show. I want to thank Dave Parker and also Coach Bill Evans for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. Be safe. I am out.